and a pugilist droid. If I were you, I'd do my best to avoid the Salonian captain and the Gandroid tech. Better watch your back or you're gonna...
Hello. You have reached the PacoCom, that is not the PacoCom, of Vorin Afa, soon to be fabulously famous finder of fantastic... treasures. I'm not available to speak right now, so please, leave me a message and I will get back to you the next time Lorenzo gets annoyed with the number of notifications on my device and makes me check this. Good luck!
House Vorin, good day. I was hoping that this update would include positive results regarding our hunt of the Pirate Queen. However, there has been a complication. I will update you as the moments are available, but it is surely to be interesting. I am very happy to learn that you have found such a reputable crew. While I am not certain what an archaeology adventure show entails, I must say it sounds well suited to your gifts. I have informed Cav to record it when it airs. Freebo plans to make spicy popcorn. The others send their greetings. Be well, my friend. Stay safe.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hydean Way. This is a live play podcast that normally explores published adventures set in the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line. Tonight, we have something special for you. And I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
And I'm Brandon. I am playing Professor Modi, the Zexto Scholar.
I'm Leslie, and I'm playing Redak, the human pilot.
And I'm Britt, and I am playing Lorenzo, the Shadrafan Slicer.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Sorry.
And I'm David, and I'm playing Vorin Afa, soon to be galactically famous acquisitor of lost antiquities. Also archaeologist, smuggler, gambler thing.
And he is going to be a star.
Yes.
All right. Before we get started, let's get us a destiny pool.
Oh my goodness.
Yep. Oh, man.
Oh! All right, this bodes pretty well for the Vorin Afa crew.
Our destiny pool stands at a whopping 6 light side points. No dark side. Sorry, Ben.
Uh-huh.
That's going to last.
Very good indeed.
Just sort of waiting for someone to say you've got a good feeling about this. All right.
I've got a very good feeling about this. Yes, yes.
I also do.
I'm sorry. If this is going to be very obnoxious, I don't have to do it. But
can I just say I
like the voice.
Yeah. I think we're all okay. in on the voice.
The sun is setting on the sprawling cityscape of Nar Shaddaa. Coming back from a private library where the scholar Modi?
Modi.
Yeah. Where the scholar Modi has been researching locations for an archaeological dig in hut space. As the crew in their airspeeder continue on in the normal flow of traffic, I am wanting to call for a vigilance check. This can be a group one, or if you're wanting to do it individually, I definitely want Redax to be sort of at least in there.
Re is 3 will, 1 training. So 2 and a 1.
Yeah, Vorin has 2 will and 1 training.
Modi should not roll this.
Neither should Lorenzo.
So, okay, Re will roll it.
Okay, in that case, this is going to be... Yeah, this is going to be a hard check, so 3 purple, and because of the direction of things, I'm wanting a setback as well. But you do get 3 boosts on account of the 3 people just kind of looking around.
Just kind of looking around while I'm doing my job. That sounds about right. So, 3 purple, yellow, green, green, 3 boost is 2 success, 1 advantage.
Yeah!
There actually was supposed to be a setback tossed on there.
That's an S. 2 success!
Yes.
No advantage!
Perfect. All right. So, as everyone's sort of looking around, you are looking up and you see this relatively large form. This being is about, I'd say about a silhouette 2, like a small silhouette 2, large silhouette 1. And they seem to be falling.
Wait, we're in a speeder right now. How high up are we?
Are we like in a city?
Yes, Nar Shaddaa is a planet city. It's the sort of evil one.
The Las Vegas of space.
That's another good way of putting it.
I had no context for that, so okay, that's good to know.
It's also known as the Smuggler's Moon, where a lot of hut dealings happen. Yeah, sort of think of the bad side of Vegas, and that's Nar Shaddaa. Right,
but filled with aliens.
And how.
Okay.
Like, it's owned by the huts. So there, just sort of free-falling, is a body that looks to be coming at the airspeeder. You're about, I'm going to go about 100 meters up, and the build, like, you're going in between buildings, which are probably another 500 meters taller.
Okay, so this is, somebody just got chucked out a window.
Pretty much. Something like that, yes. It's twilight. Sort of, we're going to be going back to the Queen and just sort of relaxing for the evening, going over some of Moody's locations, trying to decide which one was which. And there's this, looks to be a Herglick, just coming down at the airspeeder.
In the split second it takes me to notice this, there's going to be one of those split second mental calculations of, are we going to survive an impact from a Herglick at high speed? And he'll probably say something to the effect of, Ree, look out!
Ree doesn't even respond. She just, there's a half a flicker as she just looks at him like, seriously? And then does her job and looks out.
So can I get a, let's see, you're flying along, you're in between skyscrapers. This should be a one purple, one red, and it's in a land speeder, so its handling would be like minus two, so two setback. On the other hand, if you've got skilled jockey, that reduces the setbacks.
I do. Guys, I've wanted to play a pilot for so long, I'm so excited that I get to do it. Everyone's all like, I don't know if we'll need a pilot. We already have a pilot. So, I'm sorry, how hard was this?
It is a one red, one purple, two setback due to handling pilot planetary.
But I have skilled jockey once, so I get to remove the one. Do you want to throw another one in just so I have it?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm more like that there's a red there.
Okay, red, purple. That's ominous. Piloting planetary is where I excel, though, with three yellow and a green. All right. So, Vuren is all, Ree, look out. And Ree's like, duh. And instead of dodging right or left into traffic immediately, she kind of jukes down and then over so that she kind of dodges oncoming traffic or up and over, whichever would make the most sense in the spatial reasoning. And I would say the advantage is that Vuren doesn't spill his coffee.
Okay, what I'm going with on this, on account of its Nar Shaddaa, it would be really silly to be in an exposed airspeeder. What I'm going at with this is, okay, yeah, Vuren doesn't drop his or spill his drink, but in this case, it's sort of the classic, if he had failed, would have been like on the front of the airspeeder and thus causing the engine to have issues. In this case, it's more on the top of the passenger compartment, causing the middle of it to bend in.
Oh!
And like the windows pop out.
So I dodged the windscreen and the engine trouble, but we're not getting our deposit back.
Yeah, it's like the heroes just don't do getting deposits back on vehicles
that
anymore.
That does seem to be a thing.
Really good with speeders.
At least it didn't catch on fire.
And it exploded. So Ree is all
those
like,
rare incendiary Herglicks.
Cha, I can do this. And then there's like a gust of wind that blows it just still directly onto the top of our speeder. No swearing, no visible like freak out, except for her arms go really, really stiff and she starts steering immediately towards like a cubbyhole or somewhere we could land.
All right. Yeah, I figured that as part of this, Ree is going to be able to land almost immediately at a semi-VIP landing facility at one of these office buildings.
Lorenzo's going to kind of holler out and then like cradle her recording equipment. In her arms.
Not my technology.
Is everyone okay? Did it hit anyone in the head when it bowed inwards?
I am good, but we are going to have to get that take again because that whole part got messed up.
I think that was a one and done sort of thing.
No, I know, but they... all right, fine, yes.
I believe I'm all in one piece. All arms are here.
Oh, good to hear. I guess we should see who our passenger is. I'll get out.
How many arms do Zextos have?
4.
Okay. I'm just curious.
And 2 legs?
Yes, they have 6 limbs. So.
Okay.
Are they insects?
No, not really.
So we land, and Vern's like, I'm gonna check this out.
Yeah, so I'll open the door, and Vern will step out. And he looks a little different than the last time people may have seen him. He's not wearing a suit, for one. He's had to adapt to more practical clothing. So he's got kind of like a long shirt and like a North Face vest kind of thing on, and a pair of leather gloves. Yeah, so I'll get out and I'll just turn around and see, A, did it survive impact, and B, who or what has just stowed away in the worst possible circumstances.
Okay, and you have this Herglick, and yeah, Herglick's probably a Silhouette 2 being, because they are just huge.
Kind of like a big bipedal orca?
Yeah, that's about the best way of putting it. They are very orcine in how they look, or just, yeah, whatever.
Like orcine.
They look like a giant orca. Generally, they're merchants, but like all species, they have their own to do their own thing. This Herglick does have a briefcase, a metal briefcase, that is in their left hand. They have what looks to be a tropical shirt on. Like, not quite so, say, not a cav type, but just more actual tropical. That's a better way of putting it. Sort of board shorts, otherwise. Like,
slightly more tasteful. Does he have... do we have, like, a straw fedora just floating down?
Maybe. All right.
And is his name
Yeah,
Johnson?
And... So yeah, in one hand he's got, the Herglick has a Herglick-sized briefcase. So to most people this would be like a steamer trunk. But the Herglick has a briefcase, like with a proper briefcase handle. And yeah, they've got the Hawaiian shirt on with a vest over it. More of a tactical type vest than like a fishing vest. And Vern, who's looking, can hear, like, very, very labored breathing.
Oh, he's alive!
Lorenzo has hopped out of the speeder with the camera and is following Vern pretty closely.
Does anyone here have medical training? We need to get this being some help.
Pretty much as soon as you say that, there's a beeping coming from the Herglick's vest. It sounds very much like a comlink.
Ree's gonna be... standing on the other side, kind of half leaning on the, like, you know how you can lean forward with your arms on top of a car? Kind of leaning forward, looking at Vern, like, can I do something?
Vern's going to start hunting through the glove compartment for, like, a medical kit or a stim pack or anything.
Do you suppose that's this gentleman's associates trying to find out where he went? Or perhaps he was hailing a cab? Do you suppose he thought we were a cab?
Tweet, I would hope this is not tweet, how we normally... Like, could you answer that, Modi? I'm trying to find something to keep him from dying.
Tweet, tweet.
Very well. Modi walks up to the speeder with one hand, like, adjusting his glasses to make sure that they aren't falling off his face after the rough landing, and, you know, one hand sort of padding for his own comlink, probably, make sure everything's still in his pockets, and then the other two hands are trying to sift through this guy's outfit and find where his... comlink is.
Yeah, it's in an external pouch just like on the upper left hand side. You're able to pull it out quickly, and then I'm going to have
extra voices this episode.
Yeah, actually, let's do the extra voices. Haha.
Gantu, where are you? You are like 20 minutes late, and I can't hang around here all day. Gantu.
Hello. Who's speaking?
You are not Gantu.
Oh, quite so.
Hi. Please give the comm back to the owner.
Are you sure?
Did you steal it?
He just doesn't look very talkative right now. I think he thought we were a cab.
Lorenzo, who has been, like, trying to film this interaction, is kind of, like, trying to poke at Vern to get Vern's attention, because she knows that Vern is the face of this documentary, and Vern should be doing this part.
Yeah, all right. Vurin will be satisfied that he can't find a medical kit in the glove box and turn around and motion for Modi to hand him the phone.
I'm going to pass you to Captain Afa now.
Captain Afa?
Toodaloo! Modi hands Vurin the comlink.
Gantu. Gantu.
Hello, your friend here, well, the one who owned this phone, how do I explain this? We were driving on the Skyway, and all of a sudden the owner of this comlink came flying out of the sky and landed on top of our vehicle. We have pulled over to the side. I'm trying to figure out how to make sure that he doesn't die, but he is definitely not in a position to talk. And then his comlink started beeping.
For the love of the... your kid... okay. Is he okay? Can you make him okay?
I'll get back to you on that. He's not moving much, but he is breathing. But it wasn't like we were bringing a surgical suite with us in the...
You need to keep moving.
What do you mean, keep moving? We don't have to leave him here.
Does he have a case with him?
He has, like, half a cargo hold with him.
Could I roll a knowledge xenology to see if I know anything about Herglick anatomy?
Sure. What sort of... like, just anything, or, like, what's the intent?
Modi is the sort who, hearing the fellow on the comlink being worried about Mr. Gantu's condition, would eyeball the situation. If he sees, like, what the injuries are, he would just start rattling them off.
Okay, in that case, just an average knowledge-genology check.
Okay, good news, I am good at knowledge. Bad news, That's all.
That is good.
All right, so as Modi, now free of having to talk to the angry fellow on the comlink, inspects Gantu, he ends up with one success and one advantage on a knowledge xenology to know something about Herglicks.
Okay, they are normally very durable, like they're essentially as tough as whales. On the other hand, the injuries that this particular Herglick has sustained are pretty massive. You're pretty sure that at least two, maybe three limbs are broken. And the way that they're coughing now, you're pretty sure that there are internal injuries as well. As they cough, you can see some blood coming out of the mouth.
Oh, well, Captain Afa, I think this fellow is severely injured. There's considerable internal bleeding, given the thickness of most Herglick hides. He would have had to hit our speeder at no less than 73 kilopascals. I don't know. That's not a unit.
That's a unit, but that'd be interesting. Anyway.
I like it.
I guess it would that's be pressure. Newtons, but why would they be called Newtons? Christine.
Fair.
Put me saying a good thing here. The area around the secondary dorsal plate does seem improbably squishy. If it's as broken as I think it is, this would be a very bad thing for me to be doing.
Maybe then you know, you should just not touch him, Modi.
I suppose you're right.
Lorenzo will have swung over to Modi to pick that up and then swung the camera back to Vurin to get the reaction.
You need to not be there.
I don't understand. Why do we need to leave? He will die if we don't do something about this.
Yes, and you will die if you stay there. He is carrying sensitive information, and you will not be popular. If you can get to the Anowet system, we can help you. I can tell you, you'll be fine. You just get to your ship and get out of there.
The Anowet
system.
Bring
him if you can.
Just who are you? What is this? What's happening?
I can't talk now. Should just do what I said.
Did the person hang up?
There's just dead air for a second. Oh. You know, you can keep talking if you want.
Just hang up the comm, like he doesn't have time for this.
There's a moment, and then it beeps, like, three times, receiving message, and you get, like, instructions.
Okay.
Or directions.
So it's just like a list of directions to the Anowet system?
Pretty much. It's hollow Google's maps.
Okay, well, crew, it seems like we've stumbled into something a little bit more difficult than I was expecting tonight. How much of that conversation did you overhear?
Could you say that line again just one more time with a little bit more emphasis?
How much of the conversation did you hear, Lorenzo?
I believe I picked up all of it, actually.
You know what? If you're recording it, I can just play it for you guys on the ship. We gotta get this guy off the car. We need to figure out what's in this case, and apparently we need to go to the Anuat system. Or something bad is going to happen to us.
It's at this point you can hear sort of a high-pitched, like a high-pitched whistle.
Is it a very distinctive whistle?
Not exactly.
Okay.
Also not a very Zelda-like whistle.
I was trying to do Proto Man's whistle, but I can't whistle.
All right. I'm going to motion to Rhee and basically start trying to get the Herglick off the car, get Gantu off the car.
Is there a pry bar in the back, in the trunk?
Yes.
Or like a jack?
There is.
All right. Dispassionately, Rhee will go to the back of the thing, get the jack, kind of climb up on top, and lever this poor Herglick off. And I'm picturing, you know, she gets up there, and you see the body just kind of moving. She stops for a second. You want to grab the briefcase where she's supposed to be taken?
Yeah. I'll try and lift it and haul it into the car.
All right.
Into our trunk, I suppose. It's not going to fit in the back seat.
Not with two people in the back seat. So
we're both small.
I'll give you that. That could work.
What are you calling people?
God. All right. So, yeah, after a few moments, the Herglick is now rolled off the top of the car.
I was picturing rolls off, hits the edge of the starport, and then rolls the rest of the way off and continues moving towards the ground.
Oh, no!
Okay, I can kind of go with that, though it's kind of grisly.
Oh, no!
I didn't describe it. I could have been worse.
Rhee, what are you doing?
You said we weren't bringing
him. I didn't. Just get in the car. We got to get out of here.
It's at that point where at the far end of the landing pad, like I'm thinking, like this landing pad's big enough for limos, like actually two limos at once. So at the far end of the landing pad, you see two droids just... Not exactly the droid land. It's not quite like a superhero land. It's just they come down pretty much like they're a projectile. And you can tell that these were the things that were whistling. And they start expanding. Kind of like how the B1s, they've got their stored thing. And then they sort of grow and expand into their usable form.
Oh, Transformers.
Oh, so from like travel size to full size.
All right, everybody in the car. We're going now. Come on.
Rhee will throw the jack at them. It doesn't actually make it that far, but it's just like symbolic, just puh, and then swing into the car.
I think by now the routine is that Lorenzo will just wait for Vern to do everything and then follow along. So wait for Vern to get into the vehicle.
He will like grab Lorenzo and push her into the car and then he'll hop into the front seat.
What are you doing? Oh, all right.
Modi gets right in when told.
Can I get a... This is going to be a... This really should be a two red, two setback kind of pilot planetary roll.
Ouch. Ouch.
Well, remember, we have six destiny points.
That's true. I'm actually also pretty well settled. Rhee will swing into the seat and then pull her door shut. And then it doesn't shut because everything is deformed. So she slams it again. And, you know, it kind of wedges shut. It doesn't click, though. And she guns it.
That's awesome.
So, you know, it's that whole slams the door shut, fails. So she doesn't get the cool rhythm door stick throttle. So slam, slam, shift, throttle for a really gross roll here. And you know what, Ben? I'm going to flip that destiny. So, used a light side, and that makes it four yellow. Right? Right? I can math. Two red. And you said two setback?
Yeah, two setback from handling.
All right, that's fine. I only have the one, though, because I'm skilled.
Mm-hmm.
And a jockey. That was really boring, but kind of awesome. So, slam, slam, shift, throttle, one success, two advantage.
All right. And...
It's a really underwhelming dramatic exit.
Well, okay, so for this, you're able to gun it off the platform, get the airspeeder going, but one of the droids was able to get up and unpacked quick enough so that I was able to start running at the airspeeder. And it does this flying leap to try and get onto the back hood. And I'm figuring that it's just able to miss the back, but like leaves claw marks going down the back of the trunk as it then plummets after the Herglick. And you're now back into traffic. The airspeeder itself is trailing smoke. And yes, yeah, sitting in between Moody and Lorenzo is at this giant briefcase. Yeah, it's made out of some form of, yeah, I'm actually figuring Durasteel.
Okay, so how, I just want to know this, because Zextos are silhouette zero, right?
No, they're silhouette one.
Oh, they are? They're just really spindly?
They're extremely spindly, but they're still shorter than humans, but they're not, like, really small.
Okay, then, in comparison to Lorenzo, how big is the box?
It's a bit bigger than Lorenzo.
Good thing Vern's been doing some daily physical training.
Well, we can only hope the trunk stays shut, because otherwise we have to go outside to get it back.
So you're flying along, and from above, you can hear the distinct intonations of some form of twin ion engine. And you can see these fairly boxy looking, stubby winged things as they're seeming to be flying in a search pattern over the city as you're down into traffic trying to keep up, because like now with the damage to the airspeeder, you're pretty much having to keep the thing pinned just to stay with traffic.
I'm gonna try and like push on the roof to try and make it undent while we're driving.
So Rhee is actually, instead of, that's really doofy looking, the LAAT/LA gunship.
It's a law enforcement.
I think it's supposed to be L-E.
It is from, it's from Ryloth. Yeah. Yeah, you see a couple of those flying up above as they're doing patrols.
So, wait, those are Imperial speeders normally, right? I don't know if I know that. Let's see what my skill is. My character sheet closed when I crashed my computer. So hang on a second. We find out what Vuren knows. Yeah, I was going to say, Modi probably knows it much better than I do.
Modi probably knows a great deal.
You know what, Lorenzo, I just have to say this. I also like the idea of Lorenzo looking at everything through a viewfinder so she can zoom and just see things. But she doesn't necessarily have to share.
You're going to edit out the part where we dumped the Herglick off the roof, right?
Of course I am. And then she will look at Modi and make a hand motion like, of course I'm not going to.
He gives you three thumbs up. The other hand is busy.
That sounds awkward.
With his glasses, he has to keep adjusting his glasses. He doesn't have a nose.
He doesn't have a nose?
Well, I mean, they have like a like slight bump.
Yeah. All right. So looking at those, I'm going with that a rim would probably be the case. This actually would be a hard check.
What do you say, Professor? Do you know anything about the outer rim?
I mean, I've got a rank in outer rim and four intelligence. So
actually, you know, I could assist you with this because I have two ranks in outer rim.
Yes, let's join our powers.
I'll contribute my second
by
rank
your powers combined
to your far superior brain power.
Modi peers out the viewport at the gunship thing that Vuren has pointed out and rolls one success and four advantage on knowledge outer rim.
For one success, this is an Imperial design. Like this is normally put out for Imperial law enforcement. You get police, you get stormtroopers. That's Imperial, and this is Hutt Space, so that is bizarre. Yeah, like normally in this sort of situation, if they're like searching for something in Hutt Space, it'll be like proper ties. It'll be one step back from an invasion fleet, because it kind of is. Like the Hutts are theoretically under Imperial control, but it's a place where the Hutts essentially pay tribute to the Empire, and the Emperor says, yeah, thanks for the money.
I think we have some company coming up.
Yes, it does seem to be a... you said there were like two of them, three of them?
You've... In your driving along, you've seen two in the sky at once, and there's probably more, because you've seen them doing a proper search pattern.
Sure.
Okay, now I'm really going to try and push the roof back into the proper, proper shape.
Yeah, we don't want to get like a minor ticket for our roof being screwed up.
No, I don't want them to be looking for a roof that's been dented. They saw the herd look on the roof before the droids left.
they would appear to be low altitude assault transports, law enforcement design, if I'm not quite mistaken.
Two of my least favorite
Imperial.
Words. Three.
Ben, did they use up all of the advantage?
No, we've got two advantage still going.
Well, I was going to suggest that perhaps Modi knows some obscure quirk of the design where it's like bad at taking left-hand turns or something, or like its turn radius or something, just something that can help re-know what way would we would evade one of these things if we have to.
Okay, I was thinking about the patrol plan, but that's actually a great idea too, yeah.
Yeah, no, that totally works. And yeah, these things they are not good at handling in tight confines. They go from one place to the other and pretty much go over everything or drop down. They're not really built for juking around.
It's based upon a landing craft design, so it's difficult for it to maneuver around city terrain like this.
Well, that's very helpful information, considering that I don't think we're going to get very far in this thing either. Rhea's actually just kind of going to glance up, like looking up at the ceiling like she can see through to where the patrols are, glancing just like a flick up and then a flick down, thinking, okay, we are this high in this area. There are more layers of traffic behind us or below us. So she is actually going to look for a way to go lower into hopefully the more congested, less affluent, less accessible, easily accessible area. I won't lie, I'm basing this almost entirely on my mental image from fifth element.
It's not too far off, honestly.
Yeah, pretty fair. Okay, so.
Now all I can think is Vrebo Gango Multipass.
Yeah, you're dropping down. There's a lot more traffic. Like, this is pretty much, yeah, Fifth Element or Coruscant-style traffic. And as you go lower, it becomes a lot more dense. But you also start seeing, like, clubs show up. You're only about 50 stories up now. And yeah, you've got...
Only.
Well, you had been, like, 100. Yeah, you're seeing, like, nightclubs with, like, promenades and that sort of things. Or, like, balconies, really. And gladiatorial places. A extreme petting zoo off to one side, and
I'm sorry, that's like the best and worst thing ever.
Extreme petting zoo.
And Britt's like, yes, please. What they don't tell you is that it's actually an annex of the gladiatorial ring. How bad is our ship, Ben? Our speeder.
Your ship, or your air speeder, is probably going to give out in the next little while.
So the little dials are ticking, bouncing into red. They're like orange, red, 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 orange, red, red, red.
Yeah.
I hesitate to ask this, but how far away from the Queen are we?
You're not too far. You're actually relatively close to the spaceport. You're maybe a kilometer or two, maybe four.
We're like 4 kilometers, but it's not really available as the, what are those things that were on the ship?
Minok.
It's not really 4 kilometers as the Minok flies for us.
Yeah, you're looking at, it's going to be an hour or two going from balcony to balcony, finding some of the promenades up there to get to the spaceport. Even for the Queen is docking bay 65, like on level 65 up.
Okay, so Rhee's going to look at the monitors. And Vorin's kind of voicing this, how far are we from the ship? And Rhee's kind of like, okay, this isn't good. I'm going to vote that we abandon ship just pretty soon. She kind of flicks at one of the instruments that's pinging into the red. Maybe at that entrance over there. Just because.
All right. As Ree's pulling in, lining up to get into the, to ditch the airspeeder, it's pretty much as Ree's pulling in, that's when you see a blaster bolt almost, well, it's kind of night now, so out of the black, come shooting at the engine compartment of the airspeeder. And like Ree's able to get it in onto the ground or onto the balcony just fine, but yeah, there was a blaster bolt that went straight through the engine block of the airspeeder. There is no way that thing is taking off again. And the check engine light comes on.
Bing, bing, bing. Please exit vehicle. Bing, bing, bing. Next service. Now.
Captain Alpha, I have some good news.
Go ahead, I guess.
I have reviewed our rental contract, and it seems that we only just voided it just now.
Oh, good. All right, everybody out and...
There are a few fine points that we probably could use to get out of legally having to pay for the speeder if we are faced with such a thing.
Don't worry, I don't think we're coming back anytime soon. All right, everybody get out of the car, but keep your heads down. I mean, the speeder, but keep your heads down. I've been calling it a car, and I just realized that.
That's okay. We still love you.
I'll pop the door and run for the trunk to get the case out.
Okay, and yeah, you can see that where the droid had clawed across the back had broken the latch on it, but it's now just sort of flapping up and down, so... As the airspeeder sort of did its final crash, it just flopped up now. And there's the giant briefcase.
Okay.
Please say it has casters on it. I will flip a light side so it has casters.
Okay.
Obviously, Hercules can't be the only people handling this stupid thing.
I was going to say, I have no idea how we're going to carry this, but thank you.
Do they have casters in Star Wars? They do now.
I mean, it probably... For Star Wars, would be repulsor lifts.
Yeah, but
and they're
omnidirectional
magnetic repulsor balls that still somehow get stuck going one direction every once in a while.
Yeah, that totally
I'll
makes
hoist
sense.
It out, turn those on. What's the nearest cover, really? Because if they shot at us once, they could do it again.
There is a giant amount of. Like, there is a crowd. Think busy boulevard of people crowd. Dense New York sidewalk, at least a good 10 yards across of people.
Okay.
And yeah, some of them have been, like, some of them have looked over and are screaming because of this car coming crashing down, but a lot of them are just sort of paying almost no mind looking. Or you are getting like rubberneckers. Someone's got a hollow out like recording.
It's like,
that's cool.
Is it Lorenzo?
Lorenzo never stopped.
Speaking of, where is Lorenzo?
Lorenzo has bolted out of the vehicle on the other side and has skirted around to get a better view of you trying to lift it out.
Okay, so once the cart is out and I've got the repulsor lifts going, he's going to pick Lorenzo up, put her on the box, and then he's going to start pushing it and it's kind of motioning like, come on, we've got to get out of here.
But this is not the best vantage point for filming this scene.
It is for not getting shot.
Modi just sort of follows along while using two of his hands to hold a data pad while a third hand scrolls through presumably their rental contract.
I'm so glad that this crew has priorities.
Do they have a an act of God clause or an act of the Force clause? Like, because we didn't run into the Herglick. The Herglick fell on us. But anyway, Ree is going to be, you know, she gets out and she keeps her hands. She does the I'm not suspicious at all, flips the hoodie up, shoves her hands in her pockets and kind of hunches after everyone.
All right, in that case, can I get a group cool check?
How cool am I? Am I cool?
I have one cool, but I have a presence of three.
I just had a thought, guys. So as we're, you know, diving into this crowd, How about we actually get a quick description of everybody that's not Vuren, since Vuren actually already did that.
Oh.
I think it's a good call.
So Vuren picks up Lorenzo and sets her on the trunk. What do we see?
Well, Lorenzo is a Shadra fan. So she is quite small, and she has sort of like bright, kind of flashy yellow, like almost like the space equivalent of like a tracksuit or something, with purple accents, and then just tech all over her, but like camera, like filming equipment and stuff, like a big utility belt, like wires and things, just tech all over the place. And she's got a big boxy camera thing that she sort of like rests on her right shoulder, pointed at Vuren at all times.
I like that it's the classic style of camera. It's got VHS, it'll pop out.
It's holotapes.
Tape being the operative word. Oh, yeah. Okay, and then scrolling through the datapad comes our Zexto.
Yes, so Zexto are very spindly and have six equally spindly limbs. Modi's head has sort of a like gray alien kind of look to it, you know, pretty smooth, which is a pair of large eyes. Modi himself is wearing a whatever the Star Wars equivalent of a four-armed sort of tweed jacket would be.
Yes.
And has several separate data pads of various dimensions sort of loosely attached to a... Well, it looks like it probably was a utility belt, but like a utility belt that a store would sell so that you can have the look of having a utility belt without it actually being a utility belt, so that it would still be like fashionable for academic circles.
It's also tweed.
Yeah, it's probably also tweed. It's like a mix of tweed and faux leather.
Hound's tooth.
Faux bantha leather. So, and he is... following along while still mainly fiddling with various data pads. He's basically never not doing something with at least two of his hands, since he has four of them. Messing with his glasses or various tools or consulting data pads or taking notes on one of his data pads. He's basically always doing something, unless he's asleep.
In which case, I imagine he snores.
No, you have to check and verify that he's still alive when he's asleep. That's how deep he is.
Okay.
He just, when he's out, he's out.
All right, and Rhee is a 5-foot-nothing human. She is kind of pale, but with really, really dark hair. Like, you feel like the only reason she's pale is because she doesn't actually spend a lot of time in the sun. But she tends to wear snug clothing that can't get snagged on anything. Right now, she's wearing just basic kind of snug jeans that have utility pockets. And a very generic brown hoodie. She keeps her hair really short, so you can see a little bit of a scar that goes through one eyebrow up over her scalp, cutting through the hairline. And she has one gun on, like, the whole cool thigh holster kind of thing, because I'm a child and I think it's cool looking. And she tends to scowl a lot, specifically at Lorenzo, but... You know, it's hard to tell if that's special or if that's just the way things are.
All right. So, yes, there's a sea of people ahead of you in the direction that you're going to need to vacate through. So, yes, I was sort of figuring that you would be attempting to blend into the crowd. Unless you're not wanting to, in which case that's cool, too.
I don't know if it's because she's uptight, but Rhee doesn't have any particular... skills in blending in, so I wouldn't mind a group check.
Yeah.
Yeah. Modi's cool is also nil.
I have one yellow.
Yeah, so does Vuren. I have a presence of 3,
so how about that group check?
Yay.
I can roll for the group then.
In that case, it is going to be a 2 purple, 1 red, and 1 setback because of the giant case that you're also trying to sort of hide.
All right, let's see here.
Going with, you were just shot at, so I'm flipping a destiny point because of that.
Vuren should pretend to be like a DJ or something, and this is his gear.
I would like to flip a light side point to upgrade one of these greens into a yellow to give me a yellow, yellow, green, 2 purples, a red, and a setback. All right, so rolling a yellow, or 2 yellows, a green, 2 purples, a red, and a setback. For our cool check, And we get a success and two threat.
All right, so as you're trying to blend in, I'm sort of figuring that you're seeing organized patrols here. You're actually seeing stormtrooper patrols on Nar Shaddaa, which is, as Moody will tell you, this is almost bonkers. But you're also seeing groups of organized Nikto, Weequay, and like you can tell that the Hutts are also in on this search just by people around. As you're going with this tide of people, you're eventually pushed into a dance club that's got like a hollow scene in the middle that's got a bar just beneath it, and a dance floor just around the bar, and a circle of sort of quieter areas up top, and a second circle underneath of seats and booths and that sort of thing. It looks to be a very popular sort of club here. Even for Nar Shaddaa, this seems to be an amazingly, wouldn't exactly say cosmopolitan, but there's a great mix of species here.
So what Lorenzo is going to do is fiddle with a bunch of like techie stuff and then pull this little gadgety looking thing that has like a long wire and just hold it as close to Varin as she can as Varin's dragging the thing that she's sitting on.
What?
Lorenzo, do you suppose we should ask the proprietors of this establishment if they mind us filming?
Oh, I suppose you're right.
And she'll start putting tech stuff away. She's not sad about it. She listens to Modi no matter what. So.
She's gonna look at Modi and be like, that worked.
Modi is also surprised.
re-rolls her eyes.
Hey, you. There are these two Nikto that are there and that are, like, they're pretty burly. They've got the muscle shirt type on, look on. They've got Club Indiana over the front in the wonderfulness of Arabish. One's supporting the other one and is like,
hey, what are you bringing that in here for?
Pointing at the case that Lorenzo's surfing on.
Pardon me, good sirs.
Yeah?
Do you represent the owner of this establishment?
I guess so.
I would be much obliged if you could just sign a quick waiver for us to film. He presents one of his data pads with a waiver for us to film.
I'm not supposed to sign anything anymore.
Best part is that means there's a reason.
I can kick at the boss if you'd need, but...
I'm quite sure your word will do just fine, sir.
We're not supposed to have recordings in here. It ended badly last time. But we're supposed to get this DJ here up to the booth so that they can start going.
DJ?
Yeah.
Rhea's going to shove, very quasi-discreetly, shove one elbow into Varin's back, like, take it.
Of course, yes, this is my equipment, you know, it takes a lot of equipment to DJ successfully.
Yes, it's all right here in this box, we are the roadies.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. The lift is just back over there, if you want. My friend Greed here can get you through.
Ah, that would be excellent if you just guide us that way. I mean, we can sort of find our own way, but, you know, we'll head that direction now. We just have to get in and out of the crowd, you know. I have to get my artistic juices in the right direction and center all of my chakras.
Yes, and the equipment is all very, very delicate, so if you don't know how to use it, then you really shouldn't be touching it.
And I really must insist that we have permission to film. It's important. We're making an album.
Oh, send the boss over.
This is a Patreon reward.
The guy had been attempting to touch the briefcase, and as Lorenzo said, that it's delicate, like pulls his hand back to his chest. Points to his, the Nikto behind him, and it's like,
go on, go on.
So we have one coming with us?
Yes. You have a, gray Nikto in, going with you.
All right, so we're going to the back of the club? Is that what I'm understanding? Or we're going upstairs?
Yeah, there's a small, like, one-level turbo lift that is in behind the bar that lifts you up to a stage in the middle. That's in the middle of the entire club, just under the hollow projectors.
Oh, this is very much not the right call.
So, is he taking us to the turbo lift and dropping us, or is he taking us to the turbo lift and getting in with us?
He's there as muscle help. It's like, yeah, getting you into the turbo lift up there. When you get up there, there's a Aqualish who's just sort of winding down their sets, plugging in a few things, and you can get sort of the like Coruscant top 10 playing for the swap over between DJs. And yeah, this guy is almost chattering, like more screeching at the Aqualish to get off the stage. Or your time's up, your replacements are here, thank you for filling in, that sort of thing.
I'll turn to the Nikto and I'll be like, excuse me, before we go up there, one thing. Do you have a terminal, maybe in the back, a Holonet terminal with access, you know, to the Holonet? We need to download a couple of tracks that just dropped over the last couple of hours. They're really hot right now. I think they could really get the mood in here up. But I just didn't have time to get them before we left the ship.
Yeah, they'll nod and point off to a small terminal in the back. Like, what I'm sort of thinking of as a front, you can see a glassed-in area across in the VIP area. And it has a, like, this sort of almost suave-looking Nikto standing there in a suit. Red skin with their horns. The horns seem to be gilded. And this, I go with, like, a proper business-type suit.
Okay. I'm gonna tap Lorenzo and kind of motion to her to come with me over there, and I guess I'll leave the case with Rhee.
Yeah, she'll hop off happily, and she looks pretty excited.
Modi will kind of lean over real quick before they leave and say, Lorenzo, I think we've received verbal permission, so you can go ahead and start shooting.
Oh, don't worry, I never stopped.
Yeah, as we're walking over to the terminal, I'm just going to whisper, how long do you think it would take you to use this terminal to set off the fire alarm?
That is exactly what I was thinking. All right, yes.
I just picture Lorenzo, like, has a mounted, a harness so that she doesn't actually have to hold the camera to her shoulder. It's kind of, like, mounted there. And so she says, exactly what I was thinking. And she rubs her tiny hands together, like, yes. I get to be diabolical. Ah.
I think Varin is just somewhat disturbed that he and Lorenzo have the same idea.
I thought I was going to have to talk you into it. All right.
I think the blaster bolt really decided Varin on it's go time.
Okay, so for that, I'm kind of thinking it's kind of boring them keeping on doing hard, but this doesn't seem like it should be an average computer's check, and I don't want to do it anything much harder.
About it, you know, it is a club with shifty people. They probably have some security.
Yeah, that's the reason why I'm sort of figuring it's going to be a hard check with, it's going to be two purple, one red, and a setback.
Can I attempt to distract the guy standing next to the terminal, talking to him about DJ life or something, or the tracks that we're supposedly downloading?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I'll walk over and start telling him about the show that I played last week on Seleucami.
Okay, so purple, red, setback. Three successes.
All right, so how immediately do you want the fire alarm to go off? Okay, so three successes, I'm figuring you've got, like, delays that you can build in.
Yeah, you know, I think that Lorenzo would probably want to set it for maybe, like, a good, like, couple of minutes so that they can continue on with the ruse, like, we've got the thing and now we're going to go up there and start, and the fire alarm went off. Who could have predicted that?
Dramatic timing.
At three successes, that makes perfect sense.
So she will fiddle with it for a bit and then take some random piece of equipment and make it look like she's, you know, downloaded something and hold it up and point over at Vern and be like, all right, they got it.
Ah, perfect. Bring it over here. We'll plug it in with the rest of the gear. You're going to love this one. It really got everybody hopping.
The guy nods and then points at the briefcase pointing at the briefcase, pointing at the hollow imagers and whatnot, implying, do you need to hook this up to anything?
Yes, yes, I've got it. Don't worry, I'm going to do it.
She's an expert. She knows what she's doing.
And Lorenzo will just look up at the guy and just big old grin smile.
At which point they'll shrug and then take the turbo lift down.
All right, so as we go over to the turbo lift to go up to the DJ booth, I'm going to flip a light side point to spy and grab nearby a pair of those club shutter shades off of somebody.
Why?
Because I have to look like a DJ.
I have learned that they are called hate blockers.
Oh, well, I'm going to grab some hate blockers.
From having gone to a cyberpunk convention.
Because I definitely don't want people to make the connection between me and the guy they saw outside getting out of the car that was being shot at.
You have like your jacket, you know, tied around your waist backwards, so it's a different color.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, he's going all out, so I'll flip a point for that, with the idea that it provides some measure of disguise, not just that he looks like some kind of very weird space Twi'lek Kanye West or something.
All right.
And then I guess I'll go up to the booth. I don't know what skill you roll to pretend to be a DJ.
That sounds like a deception.
I could probably do that.
Also a point of it, because you said the word disguise, and I had purchased a disguise kit just in case it had been useful. It seemed like,
you draw a couple of stars on his face, too?
I don't even know.
Totally makes sense. Okay, so I'm figuring... Get up, like the four of you are now up in the DJ booth. It's big enough, almost just big enough for the four of you up there. Looking out, you can see the writhing dancers beneath. The song as it is just sort of starts to come to an end. And just as the initial chord of the next song starts going, that's when the fire alarm starts.
Oh, good. I don't actually have to teach it.
Oh, no. This is very bad. I guess we should evacuate.
that's the tiny voice that comes into the microphone. Sorry about your dancing, folks.
And that's when, like, everyone starts screaming. And you can see people streaming out of the club in different directions. And the Nikto, who's in the office that's overlooking everything, just looks at the four of you, shakes their head, and turns around. Doesn't look like they're leaving at all, but looks like they're sort of glowering at you. So the question I have currently is...
Was this the classy Nikto?
Yeah, this is a classy Nikto. Most likely the owner. The person that you probably want to actually get the permission to record from, but... You know, but my question for the four of you is, how are you wanting to leave the building?
Is there a fire escape from the level we're on? Or do we need to use the turbo lift?
There is an escape slide.
Ooh!
All right, I guess we'll take the slide, but we're going to take it looking not like we're in a hurry, in the sense that we're like, you know, we were expecting the alarm. We're just going to leave in that way that people leave during fire drills, where they're like, oh.
Slide casual.
I think I found this episode's name.
Slide casual.
I think Lorenzo actually kind of enjoyed riding on the thing, so I think she'll hop up.
So at the very end, you get this sort of plum, 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 twang, as the four of you come out, and then the giant briefcase plops out onto the sidewalk about a half block down in the direction of the starport. People streaming out still, like almost stampeding. You can see a couple fire control airspeeders and transports coming in. One of them has their fire suppressant nozzle turned and it looks like it's about ready to go as two modified B1s jump down with fire hats on and vibro axes in hand as they head towards the front doors.
That's the best thing ever. Are they painted red?
Please ingress the club. We shall determine if it is suitable for habitation shortly.
I think that's our cue to get on with our trip here.
We need to steal a speeder. So we're everybody's fleeing in panic, and I wouldn't mind. I don't know if you guys want to do it this way. if you want to roll this way, flipping a light side point so that there's a taxi driver that's actually, he was waiting outside his taxi for someone. I mean, he's kind of like doing the rubbernecker crane, like, hey, what's going on there? And we get out there like, we don't know, man. There's this ship, or there's this fire and craziness. And then they just kind of get into the taxi cab and take off.
What if we had a young boy who was our friend who drives up to help us?
See, in this situation, I thought Lorenzo would be short round.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydean Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
You can find me, Brandon, on Twitter at Blue of the Kin.
I am Leslie at LeslieGS.
And I am Lorenzo, and you can find them.
And I am Britt, and you can find me at Atomic Firebird.
And I'm David, and you can find me on Twitter at aka Agent Shades, and as of today on YouTube at youtube.com/c/TheAgentShades.
We are all at thehydeanway.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydean Way.
Our podcasts are on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydean Way, and you can holocom us at heroes@thehydeanway.com.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thehydeanway.
Or you can donate a calf to us at ko-fi.com/thehydeanway.